Well, it's my privilege to welcome you in the presence of God. As we always do, let's look up to Him as we prepare our hearts to hear from His Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I come before you empty, and I ask you to fill me and empower me. I thank you that you are the God of power and the God of strength. I thank you that you are the God who is greater in us than he who is in the world. And I thank you today for Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. And Lord, we appreciate your presence, and we admire your presence, and we adore your presence with us today. Lord, I surrender to you today that as we open your word, your Holy Spirit will take what is of Christ and make it known to our hearts. How we thank you for blessing us with your Son, Jesus Christ, and for blessing us with your Spirit, and also for blessing us with the Scriptures, and also with the saints of God, those who believe in Jesus today are saints today and forever. And so, Lord, we commit this study to you, and pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us, even as we pray all these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, a vase shatters, brushed by a careless elbow. A toy breaks, handled roughly by young fingers. Fabric rips. Take time to clean up, effort to repair, and money to replace. But far more costly are shattered relationships. Unfaithfulness, untruths, hateful words, and forsaken vows tear delicate personal bonds and inflict wounds not easily healed. Most of you have experienced that. Most tragic, however, is a broken relationship with Almighty God. God loves perfectly, persistently, and completely and consistently. And His love is a love of action. That is, it is a love that is caring, a love that is comforting, a love that is counseling, defending, delivering, and giving, and guiding, and guiding us on our journey here on earth. He's altogether faithful, true to His promises to His chosen people, breaking the covenant, following other gods, and living for themselves. So their relationships with Him is shattered. What I was going to say is that God is altogether faithful, true to His promises to His chosen people, but consistently they, that is you and me, spurn our loving God, breaking the covenant, following other gods, and living for ourselves. So our relationship with Him is shattered, but the breach is nothing, is not beyond repairs. It's not irreparable. All hope is not lost. God can heal and mend and reweave the fabric of our relationship with Him. Forgiveness is available, and that is grace. Whenever you think of forgiveness in your life and in my life, it is all about God's grace. God is giving you the blessing you don't deserve to receive. And forgiveness is a blessing. So this is the message of Malachi, God's prophet in Jerusalem. Before Malachi reminds the Jews, God's chosen nation, of their willful disobedience, beginning with the priest and then including every person, their contempt for God's name, false worship, leading others into sinfulness, breaking God's laws, robbing God in their tithes and offerings, and becoming arrogant, he tells them the most important thing they needed to hear. He tells them of God's love for them. How sweet, how special, how soothing to the soul to hear God affirming his love for us. There's nothing like it in all of this world to hear God tell you, I love you. To affirm his commitment of love to you and to me. That is precious. There's nothing like it. So this brings me to the main idea, or the big idea of the message God has given me today from his word to deliver to you at this blessed hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is delighted and desirous to plant the seed of God's divine and dependable truth. In order to do what? In order to change genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the marvelous image of Jesus Christ, the Lord and lover of the church. And to convict unbelievers of their sin of unbelief, mercifully and miraculously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the ruler of the nations and the redeemer of repentant sinners. So here's our message in a nutshell. Please, I humbly implore you to pay very close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind. Willing to do what? Willing to embrace it and express it in your life. So here's the message God wants us to hear from him today. And I want you to pay close attention to it. And here's the message. God freely, fully, and faithfully loves his covenant and chosen people, even when they don't appreciate him. To put it simply, God loves his people even when they ignore or disobey him. This is the message we are about to hear for ourselves. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to clearly and convincingly affirm God's love for his covenant and chosen people. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are part of that covenant and chosen people of God. But originally, that belongs to Israel. But God didn't want his love to be stuck with the people of Israel. He wants his love what? To extend beyond Israel to the ends of the earth. So the Bible is going to clearly and convincingly affirm God's love for his covenant and chosen people. Yahweh's love toward Israel, a love that is sovereign, undeserved, and persistent, is boldly and explicitly reiterated by the Lord himself. You see, unconditionally and completely apart from any consideration of human merit, God chose Jacob and his descendants to become what? Heirs of his promise. In other words, God himself will assure his people that no amount of what? Gross sin or shameful compromise will alter his love for them. That is so powerful. No amount of gross sin that you have committed, that I have committed, will limit the love of God for you or for me. Please listen. As children of God, what joy and comfort there are in the knowledge that God loves us. He loves us. And that nothing, absolutely nothing, in all of creation can separate us from that love. That is what Malachi is going to set before us today. Our God is a loving God, filled with tender care for his people. And I hope that today, that message will once again be resonating in your heart. Because this is a message that God wants you to hear and wants me to hear. No matter what your circumstances, there is one truth that remains, and that is God loves you and he loves me. So please, if you have your Bibles, quickly turn them to Malachi chapter 1, verse 2 to 5. Will you please listen carefully, very attentively, as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into our English language. So for the sake of context, I will actually be reciting from verse 1, the very beginning. The Bible says what? The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? But I have loved Jacob. Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. And I have made his mountains a desolation, and I appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Though Edom says, we have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins. Thus says the Lord of hosts, though they may build, but I will tear down. They may build, but I will tear down. And men will call them the wicked territory, and the people toward whom the Lord is indignant forever. Your eyes will see this. And you will say, the Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel. This is the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. So we have before us today a passage of scripture which can accurately be described as a passage focusing on, particularly on love, and featuring prominently the Lord. Particularly on love and prominently the Lord. First of all, it is a passage of scripture focusing particularly on love, because love is the first and foremost verb to be used in Malachi. This is the first verb. A verb is what? An action word. And as Malachi begins, he begins with the verb love. The verb love in Hebrew, ahav or ahab, is used three times in verse 2. You see, friends and fellow believers, Malachi's theme is God's passionate love for Israel, in spite of the sins of the people he will later be rebuking. He says, I want you first know this. Before I even rebuke you of any sin that you have committed against God, the one most important message I want you to hear today is that God loves you. Second, it is a passage featuring prominently the Lord, because the Lord and him alone is the central figure in the prophecy of Malachi. In fact, you can easily see how the Lord features prominently in this passage by noting that his personal name, the Lord, is mentioned four times in verses 2 to 5, in addition to the Lord of hosts. So please, as we continue our study in Malachi, be reminded that the Lord, that is Yahweh, the self-existing, the self-sufficient, the sovereign and the supreme deity of the universe, he is prominent, the prominent figure in Malachi. He is in charge. He is in control. And he is in command. So these are the reasons why our passage of scripture can be accurately described as a passage focusing particularly on love, and then prominently on the Lord himself, the great one. So having just simply whetted your spiritual appetite, and I hope you have a great spiritual appetite. I know you do. That is why you come faithfully to our ministry of preaching the Bible. So please allow me to give you a concise overview of how the Holy Spirit has prepared me to present his message to you from start to finish. First of all, we will emphasize the Bible's teaching, focusing on the declaration of Yahweh's love for his people in verse 2a. I tell you, friends and fellow believers gathered here today, Yahweh delights in declaring his love for his people. "I have loved you," says the Lord. Isn't that a marvelous and a wonderful way to start things off? I mean, God didn't begin to lay in on them when he opens the book of Malachi. He says, with open heart and open arms, "I have loved you." How wonderful. So the prophecy begins on the glorious and heartwarming note of God's love for Jacob, that is Israel. In the very last prophecy of the Old Testament, Yahweh himself reiterates the persistence of his love for Israel. Malachi's prophecy begins with a clear and resounding affirmation and assurance of Yahweh's love for his people. Remember, Malachi is the last Old Testament book of the Bible. And this, as the people come to the very last book of the Bible and they begin to hear its message, the first thing that comes into their minds is the love God has for them. God assures them of his love. He affirms his love for them. Now someone asks, when the Bible says, "I have loved you," is it saying that is it saying that God only loved the people in the past, but is not loving them in the present? Because he says, "I have loved you." So is he talking about, "I just loved you 10 years ago, but now from this point on, I'm not loving you"? Well, your question is an excellent one. With the help of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures, we will answer this question in just a moment. Second, we will examine what the Bible reveals about the doubt of Yahweh's people and his decisive response to them in verses 2b to 3. How do you think that the people of Israel are going to respond to the heartwarming and hopeful words, "I have loved you"? Well, they will not respond with delight, but with doubt. They didn't have a prayer meeting. "God, we thank you for telling us that you love us. We are so excited. Our spirits are just lifted up." No, there was no delight. They responded with doubt. Maybe you have experienced that before. Someone had told you, maybe your husband, at some point in your life, you were going through difficult times. And he may say, or she may say, your spouse or being husband or wife may say to you, I love you. But because of maybe the past, you were doubting in your mind. Do you truly love me? If you did, you wouldn't have done what you did to me or said what you just said to me. So this is something that is so practical, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Relationship. We all want to be loved, and God created us to be loved. But sometimes we doubt not only our best friend's love or our spouse's love, we doubt even God's love. And this is what we are going to see in this passage. They will not respond with gratitude, but with griping. They will not respond with quiet confidence that, God, you truly love us. We are confident of your love for us. Rather, they respond with what? Questioning. How? They would disrespectfully question the Lord, how have you loved us? In what way have you loved us? Can you believe that these people will have the audacity to speak to Yahweh, the I am, who I am, like that? Well, before we point our accusing fingers at them, let's remember that we have three fingers pointing at us. I learned that from my hometown, that if you point a finger at someone, you have three pointing back at you. So you better be careful using that pointing finger. You see, some of us will raise the same question today and say, look at the things that are happening to me today. God, how can you say that you love me? Well, God made it very clear to Israel from the very beginning that he loved them. Similarly, he has made it very clear to you and to me from the beginning of our Christian life that he loved us. And he will continue to love us even to the very end of our days here on earth. Now, someone says, I'm not comfortable with God saying, I have loved Jacob, but I've hated Esau. How are we to understand this? Well, with the assistance of the Spirit and the Scriptures, we will be addressing this crucial question in our time of study, either today or the next time, because we started late today. Third, we will explore the Bible's prediction regarding the devastation of Edom in verse 3b. Now the question is, what does the prediction, the predicted devastation of Edom reveal to us about God's attitude toward Edom? Does Edom deserve to be devastated or desolated? Remember, he says, I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. And I have made his mountains a desolation or a devastation. So my question is, this desolation, what does it reveal about the attitude of God towards Edom? Well, with the aid of the Spirit of God and the Scriptures of God, we will seek answers to this crucial question, hopefully, God willing, next time we meet. Fourth, we will elaborate on what the Bible reveals to us about the determination of Edom in verse 4a. In his pride, Edom, or Esau, those two names, Esau is the father of the Edomites. So sometimes you hear Edom and Esau, they interchange. So God is speaking about Esau's descendants. In his pride, Edom or Esau will attempt to rebuild his devastated land, to regain its power and position among the nations of the world. You see, Edom was so confident that she could fight against God and return to her former state of prosperity. So God has said, I will make the mountains of Edom, Esau, a desolation. Then Esau or Edom turns back and said, hey, though we have been beaten down, we will return and rebuild. For example, you think of Puerto Rico, which have been devastated. And you may hear them say, well, we will return and rebuild. And then we will become famous again. And all the tourists will be coming down to us. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that is what God is doing to Puerto Rico. But maybe they say, well, we have confidence to rebuild and regain our former status. Well, this was what Edom was doing. It says, we have confidence in ourselves, not in God, in ourselves, in our own human ability and capability to rebuild. And then we will attain to our former glory. This was the situation God was dealing with. The question is, will Edom be successful in rebuilding their devastated and desolated land to regain their power and position among the nations of the world? Your guess is as good as mine. And then fifth and finally, we will expound on the decisive action of Yahweh in verses 4b to 5. The decisive action of Yahweh reveals that Edom will not have the last word. Rather, it is Yahweh who will have the last word. You see, after God judged Edom, they never made a comeback. Many nations, after they have been judged, made a comeback. They grew strong and prospered. But when it came to Edom, there was no comeback for Edom. That is how powerful the judgment God is pronouncing on Edom is. When was the last time you saw an Edomite running around downtown Boulder and priding himself of being an Edomite? I am an Edomite. Did you see one recently? No, you haven't. And I haven't. Why? They went out of style years ago. As such, they are just not doing business in our world today. Edom is devastated because of the decisive action of Yahweh. Well, having given you a brief overview, an excited overview of our passage of study, let's now dig deeper into it to discover the precious and practical, powerful spiritual lessons the Holy Spirit is so poised and prepared to impress upon our hearts in order to do His divine and decisive work of shaping genuine born-again Christians among us here today more into the blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, who is our life, our Lord, our leader, and our lover, in this present life and also in the life soon to come. So we begin first of all by emphasizing His teaching, focusing on the declaration of Yahweh's love for His people in verse 2a. The covenant people of Israel, to whom the prophecy of Malachi is first originally addressed, now hears from Yahweh's own mouth His own declaration of love for them. A love which embraces, envelopes, encompasses all of them across space and time. Oh, the amazing love of God. How soothing is its sweet sound to your soul and to my soul. Malachi opens his prophetic message to Israel with a resounding, rich, resonating and reverberating affirmation and assurance of Yahweh's love for his people. Notice what the Bible says to us at the beginning of verse 2. It says what? I, referring to Yahweh, he himself is speaking through the prophet. I have loved you, says the Lord. The Hebrew says that in only four most important words in all of the Hebrew Bible and our English Bible. In the Hebrew it says, I have thee etekem, amar Yahweh. I have thee etekem, amar Yahweh. This statement is an emphatic declaration of Yahweh's love for his covenant and chosen people. Blessed are the people, listen carefully, blessed are the people of whom Yahweh declares, I have loved you. Blessed are those who hear those words. Privileged are the people upon whom Yahweh freely bestows his love. Please listen, Malachi is the only book in all of the Bible which begins its message with a powerful and profound declaration of Yahweh's love for his people. There are many books of the Bible that talk about God's love for his people, but the only book that begins its message with I have loved you is the book of Malachi. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, Moses speaking to the children of Israel before they cross into the Jordan, they cross over the Jordan into the promised land. He tells them this. This is the first time he used the word love for the people. In verse 8, it says, I will read from verse 7. It says, the Lord did not set his love, so Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of all the peoples. So he's telling them, God's love for you is not dependent on your merit. It's all grace. For you were the fewest of all the peoples. So if God should love people, he should love the people who are big in numbers. Their population is great. Not the few people, like the Jewish people. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Then Isaiah chapter 41 also speaks about the love of God for his people. And there he tells them in verse 4, it says, since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. And then one of the richest message of love given to God's people is found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. There the Bible says, the Lord appeared to him, referring to Jacob, from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. And then in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, we read of another message of love. Hosea chapter 11, no, yeah, 11 verse 1. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. And John's gospel chapter 3, verse 16, which most of you know, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in Revelation chapter 3, just the other day I was reading, my reading now is in Revelation, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, it says, behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Just the same words God used for Malachi. So, but all these books I have written to you, their messages didn't begin with such a powerful declaration of Yahweh's love for his people. Only Malachi's message begins with such a declaration. So that is why Malachi is so unique, because it talks about God's love, but he puts it at the top of his message. Right at the beginning, he says, I want you to know for sure, I want to assure your heart today that I, Almighty God, loves you. Malachi began by God's people, began by reminding God's people of God's love for them. He established that fact just in case any of the people will be tempted to respond after his stinging rebuke. That proves that God doesn't really love us. Malachi affirmed God's love for his people, though Malachi's message will later contain a lot of rebuke for God's people. But he wanted them to understand from the very word go that God loves you. Malachi reminded the people right up front that God has set his love on his people Israel, and no amount of sin or compromise on their part could change that fact. As God's children, what joy and comfort there are in the knowledge that God loves us unconditionally, unfailing. His love is unfailing. Nothing in all creation will ever separate us from this love. That deserves a great thank you to God. Now please take careful note of this. If there were ever a lesson in the entire universe, if there was ever a person in the entire universe who perfectly and persistently practiced talking the talk of love and walking the walk of love, it is Yahweh. That is, I am who I am. The self-existing, the self-sufficient. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. The sovereign and the supreme deity of the universe. The one and only true and trustworthy God who is fully and finally revealed to mankind in the person of the Lord Jesus. He's the only one who can talk the talk of love and walk the walk of love. I tell you, friends and fellow believers, Yahweh, the God of Israel, is in a distinguished class all by himself when it comes to talking the talk of love and walking the walk of love. And may I say to us, I may talk the talk of loving you, but I confess to you that I do not consistently or perfectly every time walk the walk of loving you as God really wants. Now the question is, when the Bible says, I have loved you, is it saying that God loved them only in the past? Remember we asked that question in an overview. But now, he's not loving them because he's mad at them. Sometimes we have that feeling. Well, God, you loved me some time ago, but now I feel like you are mad at me, so you stop loving me. We Satan uses that to create doubt in our hearts. Well, the Hebrew verb translated love comes from Ahab. There's a king called Ahab, and his name is love, but he didn't live anything like that. This verb is use of Yahweh's love for man, especially his people, and other things, such as the gates of Zion, righteousness and judgment, and the holy temple. These are the places God speaks of love. He says, I love the gates of Zion. I love righteousness and justice, and the holy temple. That is the Jerusalem temple. Ahab denotes love in its expression or practical manifestation. So the love the Bible is speaking of here is not about mere talk, but action. The tense of Ahab as used here, that is love, includes the present. So please listen carefully now. It doesn't mean I used to love you. That is not what the Bible is saying when it says, I have loved you. He's not saying, I used to love you. But rather, I have loved you and I still do love you. That is so powerful. You see, Yahweh is reminding his people of his persistent and passionate and permanent love for them. His is a love that never quits. His is a love that never runs out. His is a love that never ends. His is a love that never fails for you and for me throughout our lives here on earth. In John chapter 13 verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus loved his own and he loved them to the very end. Let me read it for you to refresh your mind once more. In John chapter 13 verse 1, Jesus now in the upper room. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That is what God does for you and me. He will love you to the very end. Others may quit on you, but God will not quit in his love for you. So, he will love you to the very conclusion. A spouse may be in love with you for a while, and then suddenly walk out on you. Perhaps some of you have experienced that in your life. Why did the spouse leave or walk out on you? Well, he or she may have stopped loving you. It's apparent. Maybe he has or she has found a new love and now is devoting all his energy or her energy to maintain that relationship. And you find yourself discarded. But may I say to us, God's love for you and for me, it's never like that. So what we have here is that the assurance of Yahweh's enduring love for his people is setting the tone. Listen carefully. It's setting the tone for the whole book of Malachi. Whatever else is said in this book has a source in God's love, who declares his love to his people in this precise, powerful, and profound words. I have loved you, and I still do love you. I want you to know that. You see, the love which Yahweh has shown and continued to show to Israel ought to form the motive and the model for the conduct of Israel toward her loving God. They were to respond to God knowing that he loved them and still continues to love them in spite of all their failures, in spite of all their faults, in spite of all their fumblings. Although this message applied specifically to Israel, it is a message of hope for all people in all times. The question is, are you aware of God's unending love for you? This morning, did you wake up with an awareness of God's love for you? Are you living like someone who knows that without a doubt that God loves you no matter what? Is your life demonstrating that you are appreciating God's love for you? Or are you among those who are cynical about God's love for them? Well, this is where we will end our message today. And God willing, we'll continue from where we left off today. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this precious time of studying your word. I thank you for this dear group of people who are always faithful in desiring to hear your word. And I pray, Father God, today you will assure each heart of your love for them in a fresh way, in a way that remains with them, that they cannot forget. And I pray, Father Almighty God, that you will do that for me, that you will remind me today in a fresh and powerful way that you love me and that your love for me is unconditional and unending and unfailing. I commit this message to you. Use it for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose precious and powerful name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.